Let us pray.
Father, we pray for your Holy Spirit. You would descend upon us and help us understand your commandments and give us the will and power to obey them. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts this morning be acceptable in thy sight, our Lord, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Well, here it goes. What's the answer to the million-dollar question that every husband has faced? You know the question, don't you, boys? Honey, does this dress make me look fat? Or put more succinctly, is it ever acceptable to lie? Ever. Ethicists and theologians have debated this question for centuries. Is it okay to lie to keep the peace, to protect yourself or others, or to gain an advantage? Is it acceptable to lie? Is there a gray area to get us off the hook? Today we continue our Ten Commandments series looking at number 9. Very simple. Deuteronomy 5:20 says, "You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor." Now, in Exodus, when the Ten Commandments are given, the context is clear. Context is clear. It's a court. Someone has done something wrong, and you are not allowed to lie, either to trump up charges or to get your way. In a judicial court system, no bearing false witness. However, here, in Deuteronomy, a different Hebrew word is used for bearing false witness. Professor John Durham says it means any worthless or empty, untrue statement. In other words, the commandment is advocating truth in any relationship. This raises the stakes a little bit, does it not? If I did a raise of hands of how many of you have lied in a court of law, most of you have never been in a court of law, so you'd say, oh, I'm off the hook. Deuteronomy doesn't take it so easily and get us off the hook, does it? My sophomore year in college, I applied to a very special honors program at Northwestern. The whole first year was called the American Cultures Program. And the whole first year, they were going to study urbanization in America. During my interview, after the long process of filling out interviews and getting references, the professor asked me, "Now, David, what experience do you have in urban settings that you could possibly offer as a part of the American Cultures Honors Program?" I froze. I was a preppy kid from suburbia. My only experience in the city was going to Broadway plays. I gulped, and then I just started talking. My dad worked in the city, and yearly trips to visit him turned into, weekly trips to the soup kitchens. And you would have thought I was Mother Teresa by the time I finished this interview. He agreed I was an incredibly strong candidate as I walked out of his office with my tail between my legs. Well, I was convicted, and I did, went back, and I confessed my transgressions to him, and I told him I had lied in the interview. He threatened to kick me out of the university. He definitely kicked me out of his office and told me I was a disgrace to all that the American Cultures Honors Program held dear. And you know what? He was right. Why did I lie? I hadn't walked into the interview process thinking I would lie. I'm a Christian. I know lying's wrong. I don't like it when you lie to me. And there I laid bare lie after lie. Upon reflection, let me tell you why I think I lied. I was scared I wasn't good enough and wouldn't make the cut. I wanted something more than I wanted to be truthful. I wanted a program that I would compromise my values to get it, and I was embarrassed that I was a preppy kid from Connecticut with absolutely no experience working in cities. You see, the problem is, for lying, there's always something behind the lie. There's always a sin behind the sin. I've just told you about that one. And it cost me dearly. I really regret not ever having been a part of that honors program. You see, I think, though, for many of us, because we've never identified the sin behind the sin, lying becomes a way of life. We don't just lie in our words. We lie in our world. We lie to ourselves. Let me give you an example, a few examples. A political candidate distorts the truth to win votes, right? Baseball players lie to grand juries to avoid getting caught for doing steroids. A salesman lies about his product, inflates his numbers in order to close the deal, right? The list could go on and on, the big lies. But how many of us stretch the truth to make ourselves look better, to avoid consequences, to exaggerate our accomplishments, to be liked, or get what we want? How many of us gossip and tell lies about others, spreading half-truths to one another to embellish a story or make ourselves feel better? How many of us exaggerate sicknesses? I wish I had done that this last 3 weeks. I really do. Or our severity of our problems. Here's one in the church we do all the time. We say, hey, I'll pray for you. And we never do. It's a lie. I'm not going to pray for you. Or how about this one? Sorry I didn't get back to you. I never got your call or email or text. See, the truth is, big and small lies are rampant in our culture. Why do we do it? We lie to mask our insecurity. We lie because we're fearful of the consequences of the truth. The famous line, you can't handle the truth. Many of us can't, and so we lie. We lie because we don't want to take responsibilities for our actions. We lie because we don't think the truth is actually good enough to get us what we want. We lie to ourselves and justify sinful behaviors. Some of us lie because we don't want to face reality. Others of us lie because we don't know how to speak the truth in love. Behind all of these reasons for lying, there's a sin behind the sin, and it's rooted in the fall. Adam and Eve did not trust God with their every need. He did not believe he would provide for them. He'd be their security and their satisfaction. And they abandoned him and said, God, we don't want you to be God. We're going to go out. We're going to eat the apple. And we want to be gods. And the consequences was not liberation and joy and truth. It was shame and fear, which led quickly to lying to cover up what they had lost. You see, all the reasons we lie are rooted in our separation from God. We don't believe God can provide what we really need. We believe that only getting into that college or having that spouse or not paying as much on that premium or having that whatever will meet our needs. And so we lie to get it, not believing when God says, seek me first and I'll provide everything for you, will really one day actually come true if we trust him. Because for Adam and Eve, it didn't work out. All they got was shame and alienation. They hid themselves, immediately started to lie. All of us have that downward pull in us. We've all rebelled against God and his household rules. Lying has become a first line of defense to seek the freedom and satisfaction we crave. Do you hear that? Lying can become the first line of defense in the seek for freedom and satisfaction we crave. Take a look at your latest lie. What don't you believe God can give you that you had to lie? What was it? What was the motivation? Behind every lie is pride, insecurity, fear, or a desire for an idol that you want and don't believe God can really give you. Of course, we're offended when people lie to us. Relationships break down, right? They can't stand and bear the freight of lying. We live in a society that crucifies a liar, yet lying is socially rampant, and we see the effects of broken relationships. You might even experience it in the lies you're saying right now to your spouses, your parents, your children, your bosses, or your friends. Well, how does the gospel reverse this trend? How does the gospel help us fulfill the ninth commandment to live in the truth and to speak the truth in love in all of our relationships? Well, first, the invitation of the gospel is this. Ready? Jesus is saying to you, will you come into the light? Will you walk in the light? You do not have to be fearful. I know your past. I know your sins. I know where you lie. I know the sins behind the sins. And I can love you and I can deal with those. I am a heavenly father who invites you into my family. Romans 8, there is no condemnation for that college student who lied on that interview because Jesus took the penalty on the cross. Perfect love drives out fear, the gospel says. When we come to Jesus, we can stop living lies and speaking lies, and we can walk in truth. We don't believe this, do we? We don't believe that God really will love us because we know that other people won't love us. We don't really receive his life, and our faith doesn't really make a difference for many of us, that the truth and the life and the light are worth it. But that's the message of the gospel. In Christ, there is freedom and joy and love and grace. You see, when you get a taste of this, it sets us free to walk in the light and to speak the light. Not only do we receive the gospel and walk in the light of Christ, but the gospel frees us to take inventory of the sins behind the sins. A couple of Lents ago, I decided to do this, to kind of take a mental note of all the times I lied or walked in untruth. Oh my gosh, the Holy Spirit just started illuminating all these areas of lies. And I started thinking, what's behind all of these things that I'm either lying about or living in lies and not believing the truth? What am I afraid of? What don't I trust God with? What am I covering up? What don't I like about myself? What am I afraid or don't know how to say? The gospel frees us to take inventory, to look at the sins behind the sins and bring them to Christ and receive freedom and be set free from other people's expectations or the disappointments of not getting what we want. Thirdly, if we come to Christ and decide we want to walk in the light, if we're willing to do the work of inventorying and understanding why we're lying, what we're not getting or why we're doing it, we can ask for power to change. This is where the Holy Spirit comes in. We can keep in step with the Holy Spirit. We can ask the Holy Spirit to come in and change us and give us the security we crave or need and the boldness to walk into truth. The Holy Spirit will be the power for us to walk in the light, to live in truth and not be embarrassed or ashamed of the truth. Fourthly, living in truth and speaking the truth and receiving power from the Holy Spirit will all play out in the challenge of learning how to speak the truth in love. Learning how to create an essential foundation of trust. Doesn't God do this for you? Does God blow you away with memos and faxes and emails about all your sins? He could. He knows all the secrets of our hearts, as our liturgy says. Is he not gracious? Does his Spirit not always come down hard? Does he not invite us into freedom? The Lord, when you read Scripture, when you hear the words of Jesus, when the Holy Spirit speaks, is so gracious when he confronts sin and seeks to cleanse. Using him as our model and the power he gives, we can learn to speak the truth in love. And ready for this? We can learn to not be so defensive when other people speak the truth in love to us. This is the power of the gospel. The Lord creates foundations of trust and love and invites us into them to learn how to speak in love. Finally, I'll close with this. If you're ever lied to, will you extend grace? When you hear about some famous person who's just lied or been caught lying, immediately think, wow, I wonder what the sin behind the sin was. I wonder what they were covering up or what they were afraid of. I wonder where they don't really believe that Christ can meet their needs, and pray for them. We're not going to say it's okay when people come and lie to us. We're not going to let them get off the hook. But we are going to begin to extend some grace and figure out, what are they really afraid of? How can I speak the gospel into the real issue? Because the real issue isn't lying. The real issue is the sin behind the sin. Just the way Christ invites liars like you and me into his family and desires to change us so we can extend grace to those who lie to us. Yes, there are consequences, but at the same time, we can be gospel agents of love and grace, making the community and restored fellowship the goal of reconciliation when we are lied to. So back to our question. Honey, does this dress make me look fat? Is it okay to lie? May we all learn to walk in truth, speak the truth, and receive the truth by the power of Jesus Christ, who makes all the difference in the world and gives us his security and satisfaction to walk in the light. Lord, may it be so of us that we might be truth givers, truth speakers, and truth lovers in the days to come. In Jesus' name, amen.